Amen and good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you on this chilly day. It's good to have everyone, good to come and gather in the Lord's name. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin. You see those listed. The Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project meets on Monday 9 to 12. The 19th, 4 p.m., the Ladies Auxiliary Meeting. Tuesday the 21st at 6, deacons will meet. Choir practice, 6:30 on the 22nd. Wednesday, Bible study on Thursday the 23rd at 10 o'clock a.m. Also Sunday, February the 2nd is Scout Sunday, and there'll be a spaghetti lunch afterwards at the fire department. And also coming up is a benefit for Cindy Howell, April the 4th. You'll be hearing more about that. But if you'd like to make a donation towards the purchase of the food and supplies for the benefit, see Beverly McGlohorn. Any use of the buildings or the facilities here, see Donnie. You see her number listed. Also, Bill, remind me this morning, let everyone know that your contribution statements for 2024 over the educational building in the mailbox. So go over and get those. Lee Ham, which is Craig Ham's father. Craig Ham married my sister. Many of you know him. He passed away, and his services have been moved up a day for the weather. So visitation will be Monday night, 6 to 8, and then the funeral service will be on Tuesday at 11 a.m. This will be at Howard Carter Funeral Home. Do we have any other announcements?
If the Board of Trustees can meet briefly after church,
which one? Over here, Board of Trustees. All right. Meet briefly following service today. Any others?
Backpack buddies won't meet this Monday because we were ahead of ourselves, so we'll meet next Monday, the 27th.
All right. Backpack buddies will not meet Monday, but the following Monday. Any others? Okay, church, we're here today to worship the name that's above all names. We're here to lift, to exalt, to magnify the name of Jesus. Would you take your hymn book, stand, turn to 813. Together, let's sing our call to worship, Glory Be to the Father, 813. Responsive reading. Come and worship Christ,
the invisible image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of creation, the eternal God,
the one through whom all things were created,
and in whom all things are held together.
This is our God. Let us worship together.
Father, we do indeed lift your name, the name of Jesus. And we do thank you that you hold us together. You've brought us here today, and there's a purpose and a reason behind it. It's all in your time, and we just pray that you would have preeminence within us in all that we do, all that we say, and our expressions of love for you. Thank you for such a life of abundance. You're our God, and we're here today to worship and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to 132, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Join All the Glorious Names.
Join all the
may be seated. Ms. Jennifer McLaughlin has our scripture readings this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Old Testament scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. So this comes from a section called Zion's New Home, and the Lord is basically going to change their name, and that signifies that his people belong to him. So chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hezbah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And our New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 39. And here Peter is addressing the crowd and speaking of the Messiah Jesus who will come. Verses 29 through 39. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
continue to worship this morning as we pray. I'll remind you about the needs that are listed on the back of the bulletin as you pray this week. Let's lift these. Are there any other names we need to call this morning?
I have a praise report. Baby Malik Abraham, that's been on our prayer list with the meningitis in it, he went home this week.
Hallelujah.
And also keep my friend Kelly calling in prayer. She's having back surgery on Tuesday.
Okay. Any others?
My friend Ronnie Garris, his father passed this morning. I ask you to be with him and his family.
Okay. Ronnie Garris family.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any others?
Betty Justice family.
Betty Justice family, okay.
Glad to have our Johnny back.
Yes, good to see Johnny back.
And Jerry.
And Jerry, yeah.
Glad to be back.
Who was that?
Carly Hunter.
Carly Hunter, okay, yes. Remember the family Lee Ham this week.
Leslie
Osborne,
too.
Hold on. Dennis and Susan Heath, is that what? Okay, and who?
Leslie Osborne, she has her first oncology appointment. She thought she had a slipped disc or something in her back, and MRI showed something that they didn't like, so now she's got to see an oncologist and it's possible bone cancer.
Mm-hmm. Continue to remember Teresa Murray, her cancer
is back. Teresa Murray, okay. All right. Remember Cindy Howe and this benefit putting together. Lord bless her and our efforts. Any others? All right. Let's thank God for his blessings. He's been mighty good to us. And certainly remember each other. Pray for one another.
Father, as you've asked, as we pray, we see way more than we ever will see, God, with them open. I'm asking every eye being closed at this moment, and you'll see way beyond the things that your brain and your vision will ever bring to you, Father. It's been a big week this week, last week, Father. There's been talk about cancers that's come in families that thought they could have it before. There's been death throughout this community, Father. It's just been mentioned and around. And your word has told about it. We would only be here for a time. Take advantage of it. It doesn't have to be a long time. Father, you've shown me. You've shown me what it's like. Turn it loose and let all the others, they're there for you. Just as you'll be there for these other families, Father. If they'll just reach out their hand. It'll spread more gospel, spread more love than all the others. I'm asking at this time that we can go, Father, and touch the ones that are sick, the ones that are hurting, and have them to reach their hand. Respond directly to you, God. I just thank you so much for all the prayers that went up for Alpha. And please be with Joe this morning. I know you will. Will continue to tender us and bring us that we will close those eyes and see way beyond what our little small brain and mind looks at. Father, we ask all this in your name. Christ. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 372. We're going to sing the first two verses of Our God Reigns.
Each and every one of us. Thank you, God, for loving and caring for us. And thank you, God, for giving us the ability to love and care for others. We ask that you bless this offering that you are about to receive, and that you lead us, Lord, to share with others your presence and knowing you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please.
Thank you. May be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 39. Jennifer read that portion this morning, part of our scripture reading. And so our topic today is, what are you preaching this week? We're in a series called Vintage Church, and we were looking at how the early church was so successful in transforming their culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how God was able to move his church throughout the world. And our goal is to look back and to see how all this happened and compare it to our church today. As we look back in Acts, we see that the church began on the day of Pentecost, just a few weeks after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 1:4, Jesus had told his followers, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I've told you about this before. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I'm sure that these disciples, these learners, these followers of Jesus had no idea what to expect about this gift of the Holy Spirit. They had been maybe given some kind of idea about God's plan for his people, but probably at that point they didn't really understand the concept of the church, its mission, or its future. They only could go on Jesus' words and do just what Jesus asked them to do, to wait there in Jerusalem. And there was a reason for this. In Matthew 28:19, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his followers, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I commanded you." This command from Jesus to make disciples or learners or followers of all nations probably sounds to them like something like a mission impossible. I mean, think about it. The disciples did not have the means to go into all the world. And, the word all meant all the world. I mean, they didn't have the resources. They didn't have the fancy buildings. They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. There were no cell phones, so they couldn't text, or they didn't have Facebook, or cars, or trains, or airplanes, or none of those things like we have today. I mean, they really didn't even have the manpower. There was just a few followers of Jesus. I mean, they had no interpreters, they had no Bibles, and apparently they didn't even have a plan. But praise God, God had a plan. God had a plan. Glory to God. And here God was fixing to implement his plan to begin his church. It was there at Pentecost, the big religious feast. There were tens of thousands of people who traveled to Jerusalem from all over the world each spring to make special offerings at the temple. And on this day, there were people from all over the world that had gathered in the city, and the disciples were waiting there in the upper room when suddenly all heaven broke loose. This sound of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the air, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if they were scared or what. I do remember a hurricane come through one time, and we laid in the hall, and that wind howling and carrying on, it was terrifying. So I expect there was a little fear there when they heard and were filled with this Holy Spirit. The Bible says they began to speak in other languages, the languages that they had never learned. But all that were there, no matter what language they spoke, they all were understood what was being said. And it was there that Peter stood and addressed this crowd of people. It was the first sermon in the history of the church. We talked about this last week when Peter preached. 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. And the final words of the sermon are what we want to look at today. He said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. And let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. So now let us look at verse 41. It says, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. So we're looking at the early church. We're looking at this and these things that happen, and we're asking ourselves, how can we be more like this? How can we be a vintage church? Today, our culture needs Jesus. People's lives are in a mess. Families are in a mess. Our government's in a mess. Everything is in a mess. Never more has our culture needed the church of Jesus Christ. So today let's look at the message of the early church, how they communicated with their culture. It gives us insight to how we should communicate with our culture. So let's look at this first sermon that Peter preached. Now you might be thinking, what do you mean we going to preach? That's your job to preach, preacher. Why are you telling us what we need to be finding out what kind of sermon we need to preach? And I mean, really, it's because I'm not the only one here that preaches. As a matter of fact, you preach more than I do. When you go out into our communities, in your daily conversations, you tell others more about your faith in Jesus and about this church than I, the preacher, ever will. Jesus understood the importance of his followers carrying his message. Jesus could only reach so many people in his community. And that's why he called his disciples, his followers, and told them they were to go into all the world and to preach, so everyone could hear that message. The truth is, the message of the church is more than what the preacher says in the pulpit on Sunday morning. Every church member proclaims a message to this community, its culture. And that message is louder than any sermon a preacher will ever preach. I want us to think today collectively about the sermon we present to our community. As a church, what is our message and how can we make it more like the message of the early church? And so let's look at this passage here that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. I think there's three areas that call for our attention. Three areas that we need to emphasize in the message we take into our community and our culture. The first thing here is we need to talk about Jesus. Peter summarizes the life of Jesus, connecting him to the Old Testament prophecies. And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom he crucified. Now imagine that. The very people that killed and crucified Jesus, Peter is telling them, the man you put to death is the one you're looking for. And that was all that was your fault. You done got the wrong guy. Peter was making the point here. Jesus was not just a teacher. He was not just a rabbi. He was not just a prophet. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God's chosen one. Jesus is the Lord. Peter's focal point in this sermon began with Jesus. I visited a church once and I made an observation. Pastor preached a great sermon, but he didn't mention Jesus. The people stood around before and after service and they talked, but no one was talking about Jesus. The order of worship contained a list of songs to be sung, but not one of them mentioned Jesus. We sang about you with a capital Y and how good you are and how good you've made my life, but Jesus was never mentioned. We sang about God. We sang about singing and dancing and being happy, and didn't sing about the name of Jesus. I carefully looked through the bulletin, and there was nothing in there about Jesus. In fact, as best I can tell, the only time Jesus' name was spoken was in a prayer, which always closed with the tag, "In Jesus' name." Now, this was not a liberal New Age church. These folks were conservative, traditional, and even some ways fundamental. And yet, as we went through the entire worship service, there was no mention of Jesus' name. Church, we need to make sure that we keep the name of Jesus at the top of our vocabulary. We need to make sure that we're talking about Him. Jesus is Lord. This is His church. And we're here to glorify, to lift and exalt the name of Jesus. We exist to make a big deal out of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and is doing in the lives, our lives, lives of people in this community and our culture. We need to be sure that we communicate to our culture just how important Jesus is and what He means to us. If we never mention the name of Jesus when we come to worship, I fear we'll never talk about Jesus during the week. We need to be over the top about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Peter preached about Jesus. Jesus was Peter's main talking point. When he talked about Jesus, look what happened in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" They were pierced to the heart. This is what happens when you talk about Jesus. Hearts are touched. Hearts are changed. You know, we can criticize and moralize till we're blue in the face. We can try to enact laws to make people do good. We can preach against all that's wrong in the world, all that's wrong with movies and music and TV reality shows and dishonest politicians and the liberal news media and those ungodly schools that took out the Ten Commandments. And we can go on and on and on, but our words will fall on deaf ears. But church, when people hear us exalt and lift the name of Jesus, when people hear us over the top about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when they hear us proclaim that Jesus is Lord, they will be moved and pierced to the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. They will be convicted and they will be convinced that Jesus is who He says He is. And hearts and lives will be changed. We need to present a convincing presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reality of who Jesus is. We need to lift Him up when we come together to worship. But more importantly, we need to lift Him up in the world and to everyone we meet. Powerful things happen when Jesus is lifted up. What kind of sermon shall we preach? Let's make sure we talk about Jesus. The second thing here is we need to talk about salvation. I find it interesting when I hear non-Christians talk about what, from their perspective, is the message of the church. You ever thought about what those people outside of our church think about this church? You ever think about what their perception is? Many times their ideas are so frequently off the mark. Many think our message is basically don't do this or don't do that. Many think a typical sermon can be summarized with "you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell." Many think that Christians can best be identified by what we're against. Many think Christians are pious, arrogant, self-righteous, and think they're better than everyone else. Therefore, they shut themselves off from the world and ignore them. Followers of Jesus know this isn't true. But that doesn't change the fact that the unchurched community doesn't know by and large what we're about and where we stand. You know, and I think this is our fault because we failed to present in love our purpose and an explanation of who Jesus is and the good news of salvation that comes through knowing Him. Church, we need to take responsibility of making sure our community and our culture know the purpose of why we exist. This seems every member of this church, every ministry of this church. Our purpose, our priority, is to inform those on the outside about the grace and the mercy and the love of God and the forgiveness that's available through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because everything that we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. If we're not doing that, we cease to be His church, His body. Salvation is available to all who come to Jesus. And to fail to present salvation is to cease to be His church. After Peter preached the gospel, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And he said to Peter and the rest of his apostles, 'What shall we do? What shall we do?'" When it comes to the question of knowing God, I believe there are still multitudes of people all around us today asking, "Well, what shall we do?" The key word here is do, as in present tense, as in right now, do. The question is, where do we go from here? We've heard the message, "What shall we do?" "What must we do?" he said. Peter said, "Repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter preached repentance. You know what repentance is? Let's clarify a couple things. Repent doesn't mean stop having fun. Okay? Repentance means stop destroying your life. If you start out in the wrong direction, are you going to get to where you want to be? But that's what sin does. Sin heads us out in the wrong direction and it destroys. It does nothing but bring misery into our lives and the lives of those around us. And when a culture is dominated and filled with sin, it's not a very good culture. And when communities are filled with sin, they're not good communities to live in. And it can just be little sins. It don't have to be nothing big. Just take the little sin of gossip. I know y'all don't do that, but just think about gossip. Give some thought to the misery that it causes. First of all, it damages reputations. It ruins relationships. It destroys trust. It wrecks your credibility. And in regardless of what you think, it causes people to despise you. When you gossip, you hurt yourself, you hurt others. When we say repent, we're not saying stop having fun. Because in the long run, sin isn't much fun at all. What we're saying is repent, stop ruining your life, even with what we consider the little sins. Our message, however, is much more than turning away from sin. Repentance is about turning towards something greater than ourselves, turning our lives over to Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to talk about Jesus and lift His name. Repentance is about faith. You were going in one direction, living a self-centered life. Now you're going in another direction, and you are centering your life around Jesus Christ. And Peter preached this, repentance. And so do we. And the complete message of repentance is stop destroying your life and start moving in God's direction. He gives us real life. He gives us abundant life. And Peter also preached about obedience in verse 38. He said, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Baptism is the first step of obedience in the life of Christ. Jesus said, "Be baptized." And we're baptized in His name. We're being obedient to what He has told us to do. If we can't be obedient in this first step, we're going to have a real problem the next steps He wants us to be, where He needs us to be obedient. This is the first outward sign that something has changed on the inside. A change that is taking place by Jesus Christ Himself. baptism, a first step of a life of obedience, to follow and to mimic the life of Jesus. And Peter also said in 38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This thing about repentance and obedience is impossible without his help. It's like making another New Year's resolution, without any help at all. During his time on earth, Jesus told his followers about the Holy Spirit. Most recently, he had promised they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and it would come upon them. And his teaching made it clear that the Holy Spirit is what makes the difference in the life of a Christian. We need to make sure we're preaching this message as well. God calls us to repentance. He calls us to a life of obedience. And it's only made possible when he gives us his precious Holy Spirit. It will be his Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live life like Jesus every day. We need to preach the complete story of salvation. We need to challenge people to start moving in God's direction, to walk in obedience, and to live by the power of his precious Holy Spirit. The third thing is, we need to talk about the promises of God. We've heard a lot of campaign promises here in the last year or so, haven't we? You know what? We'll continue to hear them. But I tell you, when God makes a promise, get ready. Verse 39 says, for the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. People can promise hope. Leaders can promise hope, but only God can deliver hope. The gospel message is a message of hope. This salvation, Peter said, is for families. It's for you. It's for your children. Jesus wants to restore our families to a right relationship with God and to a right relationship with each other. It's hard to be in a right relationship with our brothers and sisters if we're not in a right relationship with God. In Acts 16, when Paul and Silas presented the gospel message to the Philippian jailer, they're in the prison. That night he was saved, the jailer, along with his entire family. We need to make certain that we proclaim this message to our culture, to people we come into contact. In this secular, self-centered, sin-filled culture, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have for ourselves and for our families. Notice Peter said, for all of those who are far off. At that time, this phrase referred to the Gentiles. Gentiles had been led to believe that since they were not Jewish by birth, they were far away from God, and they probably couldn't get close to him unless they worked real hard at it. Certain things they had to do. And they had been led to believe that because of who their fathers were, they were less than special in the eyes of God. Yes, they were a little racist, but Peter told them differently. He said, people, this is good news for you. Those of you who have been told, those of you who think that you're far away from God, his promise is for you, and you can be saved. Today, there are people in our community who believe they're too far gone from God to ever be right with him. You may even think that yourself here this morning. There are many people that think they've gone too far, done too many bad things to be forgiven. But this simply isn't true. And it's sad and unfortunate in many cases that churches and religious people have caused others to believe this way. Church, we need to present to them a convincing example of how Jesus has saved us, how Jesus has saved you. And if he can save you, he can save anyone. Amen? We need to convince the people of our culture who are far from Jesus Christ that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for them. No matter how far away from God they might consider themselves to be, Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross for sinners. We're all sinners. We've all sinned against God. But you can be saved You can be forgiven. You can be set free from the past. You can live a new life with a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's done this for us. The promise of God is fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for you. And that's the message we've got to tell to the whole world. The vintage church saturated their pagan culture with this message. And God moved. You don't have to live in desperation and despair, because Jesus offers hope of a new life in Him. That's the message we have to tell. So in conclusion, Sunday by Sunday, I try my best to be faithful to the message of God's Word, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like the leaders of the early church proclaimed it. But I can't do it by myself. We must work together, because that's what a body does. And it's not that I preach on Sundays. It's that we preach every day of the week. We are Jesus' body to carry His message. A message that transforms people and entire cultures. A message that's changed the world like nothing ever will be able to do. Our culture needs Jesus. Our culture needs to be transformed by His power. And our culture will never become a Christian culture by legislation. We'll never be able to vote in enough laws. We'll never be able to vote in the right people, because the right person is already in charge. That's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Our culture will only become a Christian culture when we, as followers of Jesus, present the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The early church communicated effectively with their culture in presenting the life-changing hope found in Jesus. Our culture needs to experience this same message. Church, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about God's promises. All that other stuff really don't matter. You know, and as we preach in this coming week, let's make it our best sermon ever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You today for Your Word and for the early church example, they said, by just simply being obedient to what You told them. You did the rest. Give us that kind of faith. Put the words in our mouth just like You put the words in their mouth. Move us and motivate us by the power of Your Spirit. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 482 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4 of Jesus is Calling.
worship with you this morning. Thanks for being here and bringing this spirit of love and joy. Continue to pray for those of us who answer in our prayers. Don't forget contribution statements in the mailbox. The Lee Ham funeral was moved up a day. Remember that? I think there's a revision on Calvin Carter's website. Okay. Backpack Buddy's not meeting tomorrow. Any other announcements? Anybody have anything to say before we leave?
I have something to say.
Well, come up here, we can hear you. If you would, please.
I asked you several weeks ago to be praying about how we could carry out our mission of reaching our community, making disciples, and serving all God's people. And I hope you have been praying about that. I don't know if you've got any answers or not, but please continue to pray. And as I have prayed, I haven't gotten a yet, but I've been doing some, just looking around, and I've come up with some things that would be, I think that would be very helpful in carrying out our mission. And I'm just going to throw the broad strokes out there. This is not for us to do as a whole. This may be something a Sunday school class would like, something the youth could do, something the ladies' auxiliary can do. Anyway, just hear some ideas. I talked to the counselor at South Lenore, and there are several things there that they need, that they've got going on, if you'd be interested in that. I checked with our original Free Will Baptist International, which is the mission, our missions program, foreign and domestic, I guess. Anyway, I've talked about them. They have some medical supply things going on, and they have a wonderful little mission called Caleb's Dollar. Caleb was the grandson of Harold Jones, who was the director of foreign missions for years and years and years. And he was visiting with his grandparents in Liberia. And I can't remember exactly the story, but he asked his granddad what he could do with a dollar. And the Caleb's Dollar ministry goes to feeding children in Liberia. Okay, there's that one. I talked to Glenn Kerr, Lenore Assisted Nursing Home and Assisted Living. They have something there that we could do that the auxiliary has done this years ago. But anyway, there's that. I also talked to the children's home, and this one we can get started right now. One of the things that I suggested, and she said, oh, that's great. Give each child a $10, my mind just died, a $10 gift card, a fast food gift card for their birthday. And I said, she said, if you do that, she said, send us all the gift cards and we'll pass them out. They don't like to give them money, because many of them don't know how to deal with money. So anyway, I thought we could get started now on the $10 gift card from Bojangles or McDonald's or wherever you go. You can provide one, five, ten, whatever you want to do, and I'll send them to the children's home, and they'll give them to each child on his or her birthday. They have 36 children in residence now on campus. Of course, they also use these when they have to take a child to the doctor so they can have them for lunch. Anyway, if you will bring me a $10 gift card to any fast food place you patronize, that would be great. We'll get this one off the ground right now. And if any of these other things strike your fancy, see me, and I'll give you contact information, and your group, whatever it is, can get started on reaching our community, making disciples, and serving all God's people. Thank you.
Come on. You got to come up here. Come on. It's old people.
I might need to.
Us old people can't hear you young people.
I did want to share about the Cindy Howell benefit. She is a speech teacher at Pink Hill Elementary. It's emotional. And in December, she was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma and a rare type of blood cancer, and she has a 13-year-old son, and she's a single parent, and our boys have grown up together. They went to daycare and everything together. Sorry. She serves Pink Hill, Moss Hill, and Southwood Elementary, but she's a contract employee. Therefore, she's not a state employee, so she has no health insurance or no income coming in right now. So the Lord placed it on my heart to plan this benefit, and I have no clue what I'm doing, but if the Lord brings me to it, he will bring me through it. So I'm asking, trying to spin off on Pam, if you feel it in your heart to, I'm really dependent on my church family to help me here. We've had one plan of meeting. We're having our second plan of meeting Tuesday, January 28th. So all donations to help, we're looking at trying to sell 4,000 plates. So it's a big benefit. And I'm relying on Joe Ellen and Bill Taylor have been great to help me since they're the benefit people and I'm not. But I just want to put it on your hearts that we appreciate any help, donations to help get this benefit and to help her and her son financially.
She's a great person. She loves those students.
Another opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Church. If you'll pray and you'll help and you'll do what you can do, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got you back. Let us know what we can do, all right? All right. Anyone else? All right. Got a big week ahead of us. Got a message to carry in the snowstorm, don't we? Johnny, would you dismiss us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so blessed in so many ways. We thank you every day for, or we should thank you if we don't. We should thank you every day for the blessings that you rain down upon us. The ones, we just have to look around and you know they're there. If you're having a bad day, just put a smile on your face. Because it's a good day, because it's the Lord's day. I don't care if it's raining or the sun's out. We thank you for all you do for us, Lord. And as we leave here, we take the message that you've given us through your messenger. That we talk about Jesus. Let's talk about salvation. What Jesus means to you. And hopefully it'll mean something to somebody else. Be with us as we leave here, Lord God. Guide us and direct us. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.